morning. Oh, good. You're awake. I was a little worried. When I'm down in children's ministry, I usually start my time with the two to four-year-olds, and I always start with, good morning, boys and girls, and they yell back at me, good morning! So you weren't quite as enthusiastic as they were, but we could try again. Good morning!
Good morning!
Oh, yeah, there you are. See, awake, I knew it. I knew you were out there. It's hard to see with the lights, but it's good. It's good to be here with you this morning. I'm very excited to be here. I wouldn't say I'm necessarily excited to be here on the stage, a little nervous about that, but I'm excited to be here in this place with you. A couple weeks ago when we were discussing and talking about what the next few weeks are going to look like and even the next few months, we don't have a timeline right now as to how long we will be in this place, we started talking about what is Kickoff Sunday going to look like? What are we going to do? Who's going to preach? And Erwin and Adrian asked, Leora, would you preach? And I was like, no. But I suppose I should ask God first. My response is no, but we'll see what God has to say. So I prayed about it, and God said, yeah, this is what I have for you right now. This is what I have for my people in Campbell River right now. And I said, okay, what am I going to preach on, God? Because, woo, I have no idea. I'm in children's ministry. We're going a different direction. What do you have for me? And he said, pivot. And when I think about the word pivot, it's a word that my husband and I, Dylan and I, talk about quite a bit lately when we look at our life and the things that are happening. You know when your life is going a certain direction, you're heading that way, and then all of a sudden, obstacle. You got to pivot. I mean, you don't necessarily have to. You can stay where you are and be stuck. You can be stuck in the same place looking at this obstacle going, well, I can't move forward. I can't do anything. I guess I'll just have to stay here. And sometimes that feels like the easiest, safest thing for us to do is just to stay there. But we do have an alternative. We do have another option in that moment. We can take ourselves and we can pivot from the direction and go the direction that maybe God is opening up because this way has closed. I'm going to pray this morning. God, thank you that you are wise. Thank you that you are good. And thank you, God, that you choose to use each one of us. And that's what I pray today, God. I want to be your vessel, the one that brings your word to your people today. May it not be my words, God. May these be of the Holy Spirit speaking to each individual person. And if there's anything that is mine, let that fall away from the listener. And let them feel that speak, that touch, that word from you today. I pray these things in your name. Amen. So the other thing with the word pivot, I mean, it depends on where you are in life. When I said pivot, how many of you thought of a Friends episode, the sitcom? Anybody? Mostly young adults, other people. There's an episode, apparently, I haven't really watched it. I did watch the little clip where they're like moving this couch and they get to the corner and one of the main characters is like, pivot! And they're telling them to like move around the corner. That's what some people think of. But the other thing that I thought of was in the game of basketball, which is hilarious that I'm talking about it because of all the sports, it's probably the one that I know the least amount. But the one thing that I do know about basketball is that there's this part of the game where you're moving forward with the ball and then all of a sudden you've taken as many steps, you can't dribble. I almost said bounce the ball, which tells you how much. I mean, it is bouncing the ball, I suppose, but you're dribbling and you can't dribble anymore. You plant that back foot. I asked Jen Bird, where are you, Jen? Oh, she's way up there, to be sure that that's what you do. You plant your back foot, and then you have the ball, and you have to pass it. You pivot your body, and you get ready, and you have to pass that ball to someone else. You have to pivot and pass. That's the other thing that I thought of with the word pivot. Just because there's an obstacle in the way doesn't mean that the game stops or that it changes. It means it's time to pass the ball. It means it's time for your team to pick up where you are and move forward with the same goal and the same destination. Church family, we're in this together. This faith thing that we say we're a part of, this relationship with God, is something that you and I are in together. We are on a team, and we are moving forward with the gospel, regardless of who is here on staff, regardless of who is sitting downstairs, whether they're well or unwell, whether you are well or unwell. We are on the same mission no matter what. We have to pass the ball. But that doesn't necessarily mean, it actually doesn't mean, that we don't change the mission that Jesus has put us on. Our mission is leading people to become committed followers of Jesus Christ. Same mission. We're passing the ball. We're a team. We're in this together. Same game, same direction. Today I want to tell you a story from the Bible. You can find it in Judges 6 and 7. I really highly recommend that you do read that for yourselves, because I'm not going to cover the whole story, and maybe the Holy Spirit has something for you that I'm not going to draw out today. So I want you to think about that. Think about later on today going and reading, you can write it down, Judges 6 and 7, and read about the story of Gideon. There's a lot in there, and maybe this is part of a two-part series that I'm doing here. Maybe I'm just going to start on Gideon, and next time I'm up here, I'll finish on Gideon. But this is the story that I want to tell you today. It's a story where somebody has to pivot. He has to change from how he views himself and what he thinks of himself to someone else, the way that God sees him. So Gideon, what has happened, let me give you a little history, a little backstory with Gideon. Gideon is a part of the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel has agreed to be the people of God. They've agreed to worship God alone, but they get to these parts in their history where they have done evil in the sight of the Lord. And one thing that is true about God is that he does what he says he will do. And what he said to the nation of Israel, he said, if you worship me alone, then I will be your God, and I will bless you and protect you. But if they choose to worship idols and do evil in the sight of the Lord, then he will remove that protection and that blessing away from them. And that's exactly what had happened to the nation of Israel. They had now moved from the place of worshiping God alone, and now they're worshiping these idols from the lands around them, and God has removed his blessing, he has removed his protection, and the nation around them, the Midianites, have now come, and they are into just war with them. They've ruined everything for the Israelites. They've taken their food, they've taken their animals, the people are living in fear, they're not even living in houses for the most part. The Bible says that they're living in mountains where they're living in caves, they're living in hiding places. They are fearful. And about 7 years, 7 years of this, they cry out to God. We need your help. We need you. And God comes and tells them why this is happening. And God, what is true about God, is that he is gracious. He is merciful. He is loving and forgiving. And he goes to a man named Gideon. Now we meet Gideon, and Gideon is inside of a wine press, which is a very large rock formation type thing. He's in this wine press, and he's sifting the wheat. So he's got wheat, he's hiding, he doesn't want the enemies to know that he's got the wheat, and so he's there in there, and he's using this basket type thing, and he's trying to get the chaff to flow away. But the problem is if you do it out in the open, it flies through the air, and people are like, ah, I know what you're doing. We're gonna come take some of that. I'd like some bread tonight. So Gideon is in here, he's afraid. He's trying to provide for his family, but he is afraid, so he is in hiding. And then the angel of the Lord comes to visit him and says this, mighty hero, speaking today, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Mighty hero. That is not how Gideon viewed himself. Gideon did not see himself as a mighty hero. But the God who made him, who knew him, who planned for his life, spoke that truth into him and said, this is who you are. You are a mighty hero, a mighty warrior, The guy hiding in the wine press, afraid for his life, is the mighty warrior. Gideon kind of goes, oh, he skips over that, and he goes to the questions we all have. But, okay, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? Isn't that our first response? If God is with us, why are bad things happening? Why can't I find a job? Why can't I find somewhere to live? Why are people getting sick? Why is someone I love hurting? Why are all these things happening, God? God, if you are with us, why is this true? If it's really what you say, God, have you abandoned us? Gideon has skipped right over what God has called out to be truth about him, and he goes right to the thing that we all do. Yeah, but God, if you're here with me, why is life so hard? God's solution is the next verse. He doesn't deal with the problems in the way that we want him to. He deals with it like this. Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. The problem? They feel abandoned by God. The solution? I am sending you. God wants to use you to help fill those needs, to meet people where they're at, to connect with them. God is sending you. All of those problems that we named, that you feel, that you have, that you see, God wants to use you. But Lord, how many of us do this? Leora, I want you to preach. But Lord, I don't like preaching in front of lots of people. I'm afraid. But Lord, what if I say something I'm not supposed to say? But Lord, oh, I can't. Gideon says, but Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. Gideon sees himself as weak. He sees himself as small. The name he's given himself is weak and small. But what was the name that God gave him? God gave him the name Mighty Warrior. Mighty Warrior. His name is not weak and small. We all have a way that we view ourselves, things that we think that are true about us. We all have this image in our head that I can't do that. I'm 68 years old. I'm not going to help out at youth group. And P.S., God totally gave me the age 68, so if you are 68 here today, you need to talk to the youth group, because I prayed about that a lot, and the number 68 came up a lot. So you 68-year-olds, I better see a big line of you going to help out a youth group this year. But Lord, I'm too old to help out at youth group. They're too young. But Lord, I have three small children at home. I have no energy. I get it. But that feels, yes. I get it. We all have our but Lords. But Lord, I can't. And the Lord has for you a new name. Something that is true about you. Not that lie that you tell yourself. You are not weak and small. God is bigger than that. Amen? God is bigger than that. God is bigger than how you view yourself. We all have so many excuses. But want to hear the Lord's response to our excuses? I will be with you. This isn't about you. This is about him and his power and his strength. I will be with you. Whatever it is that you're thinking you need to say no to, whatever it is that you're feeling that tug in your heart, that you see these signs up here and you know that one of these is meant for you and it means change and it means hard and it means something different and you're saying, but Lord, I can't. His response to you is, I will be with you. We are in a season here, church family, and we're always in this season, but man, we feel it right now. We are in a season where we need one another. If this mission and this gospel is going to go out from here, from Campbell River Baptist Church, then you need to be a part of it. This isn't about me on staff. This isn't about the other staff members doing all of the work, and it never has been. We're here to create the environment that you get to come and help people meet Jesus in. We're in this together. This isn't about me. This isn't about the staff. This is about you taking the gospel to Campbell River. That's what God is asking of each one of you. Many, many of you are already doing that. So many of you are already giving of your time and your talents and your gifts. Thank you for doing that. It does make a massive difference. I couldn't be up here today without people sacrificing their time, their talents. There's a whole group of people back behind me over here watching over your children and giving them the gospel, helping them to meet Jesus. They're volunteers. They said yes to God's asking. No matter who is sitting in the offices downstairs, the mission never changes. It stays the same. Same game, same direction, same goal. We're moving together in this, always. And obstacles come up. Our lead pastor right now is unwell. He's on medical leave, and that leaves us all feeling a little bit settled. Trust me, we feel it as a staff. We're trying to figure out, okay, God, what do you have for us? We're in. We're about bringing the gospel. We're about helping people meet Jesus. We want to take this gospel to the city of Campbell River, and yes, we feel like a big part of us is missing without Pastor Jeff, but how can we still move forward? There's an obstacle, but we don't stop the game. We pivot. We pass the ball. Same game, same direction, same goal. We're in this together. Gideon came up against lots of obstacles in his life. I really, truly do want you to read Judges 6 and 7, and you will see how God again and again proves that I am with you is real. He's not just saying that, he means it. And it's not just true in the Old Testament, it's true for us today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means the God that was with Gideon is the God that is with us here today. Gideon had his doubts. He's like, give me a sign, God. Maybe you feel the same way today. You're like, if you want me to help out at youth group, give me a sign, a really big one. Well, 68-year-olds, I gave you your sign. Sign up. All right? Gideon took a fleece and he brought it outside. And before that, he had had this big conversation with God. And he's like, wait here. And he's like, oh, I don't know. And he's living in this fear and this doubt. And he's not sure exactly what it is that he's supposed to do. And he doesn't believe in himself. But God has given him a new name, Mighty Warrior. He is no longer weak and small. He takes that fleece and he says, okay, God, if this is really what you want me to do, I'm going to put out this fleece, I'm going to put it down here, and if it's true that you want me to do this job, I'll come out in the morning, the fleece is going to be wet, and the ground is going to be dry. He comes out in the morning, wrings it out, that's what happened. Oh, it's silly me, of course it's going to be wet. It's more dense than the grass, so of course it's still going to be wet. I mean, that's obvious. Wait a minute. Can we just switch that? Can we switch it? We'll do it just one more time, okay, God? One more time. Just want to make really sure that that's what you said. So he takes the fleece, he puts it on the ground, and he says, if this is dry and the grass is wet, then I know that you want me to do this. Isn't God so gracious? Isn't he so kind? Isn't he so patient? He did not need to do any of that. He had already called out what was true about Gideon. But instead, God in his loving kindness was patient with him. He comes out the next morning, and of course, the fleece is dry and the grass is wet. Because that's what God can do in his patient kindness and love. Gideon moves forward, doing what God has asked him to do with fear, but he does it anyways. The people try giving him a new name as well, but it's definitely not as good as the name God gave him. He ends up tearing down the idol in his dad's yard, and the people are like, who did this? We need to punish. And his dad is like, well, if Baal is real, then Baal can punish. And then let me just see here. The name that they gave him was like Jerub-Baal. But what does it mean? Let Baal defend himself. Huh. That's the name that you want, right? But God gave him a good new name. Later on, he went into battle, and God was like, I am with you. And Gideon's like, I don't know. God pairs that army down to a small group of people because this is God's battle, not our battle. The same is true for us today. Gideon had to pivot away from the name that he thought was his. He had to go a new direction. His goal never changed. God's goal never changed. But how they accomplished it did. So, church family, it's time for us to pivot. To pivot away from the things that are standing in our way. To pivot away from the old ideas that hold us back. And to pivot away from that view we have of ourselves. God has such a bigger picture for you and for me. He has purposes for you. And your purpose is here right now. Don't be stuck. Stop using your excuses and allow God to lead you along the path that brings honor to his name. It's time. It's time to pivot. I want to talk to you a little bit about the card that you were given today. My goal today is to preach a little bit shorter, and so far I'm succeeded. Woo! I want to talk to you a little bit about this curiosity card. But before that, I do want to talk to you about the name that God has given you. I want to give opportunity for you to ask God, what is the name that he's given you? I want to give you space to hear from him today. The worship team is going to come up and they're going to sing a song here in the middle, but when they're done, the service is not done. I have more. I have more that I need to you to be a part of today. But during the time of the singing with the worship team, you can sing along if you want, but I want you to spend time asking God, what is your name? What is the name he has given you? And he is the God that speaks. And I've been through different times in my life where I can hear him loud and clear, and the Holy Spirit is so, I'm so aware. And I've also been through seasons of my life where God has felt silent and quiet. I don't know what season that you're in your life, but know that he is the God that speaks. So maybe you hear something from him today, that name that he has for you, or maybe you don't. And that's okay too. Keep asking him to show you. Maybe ask a friend. What do you see in me that's true, that would be true from God? So as we sing this song together, like I said, you can choose to sing it or maybe spend that time in quiet reflection, asking God to speak to your heart about that. When we're done singing, I do want to go through this curiosity card, and I'm just going to preload you. That's what I do. I work with children, and we preload a lot. We're going to go through this curiosity card, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about all of the different opportunities that we have here at our church for you to be a part of. We're on the team together, folks, and I want to talk to you about that. And then we're going to give you about 15-ish minutes at the end where the children's program is still running. They tell me that I shouldn't lock the doors and make you stay in here. That's not nice, so I won't do that. But I would like for you to stay in here and have conversations with one another and with the ministry leaders about how you can get involved and connected. And for those that are watching at home, because there are some of you that are in different communities throughout North America, you need to get connected into your local church as well. This message is not for Campbell River Baptist Church. It is for everyone. Get connected.